This is the Sports Bosses on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Miami, here's Jim Rodriguez and Sean Stanley.
Okay. Cardi B. She knows. Okay. Sixers.
Mike's hot, guys.
Oh. Mike's Sixers. Hot. Sixers took it on the chin yesterday as Dwayne Wade, Fountain of Youth and such. Out in Philadelphia. Series comes back here Thursday for Game 3. Miami now seizing the home court. Three of the next four will be played here if they play that many.
Chris.
Joel Embiid mad. A lot to talk about. Let's go to our Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans guest line. Talk to our buddy Kevin Love. Not that Kevin Love. This is the Kevin Love. Kevin F. Love. From Liberty Ballers, the 76ers SB Nation blog. Kevin, what's up, man? Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I'm happy to be here.
Hey, man, I know you got to get, like, when you make a reservation or something, you know, Kevin Love. Oh, yes, of course. Best table in the house. And anything. We'll put some extra pepperoni on the pizza. Does it get old, or have you used it to your advantage, for real?
I got to use it to my advantage, you know what I mean? I mean, it'd be a waste not to. So I'm always letting them know I'm the Kevin Love, so... You know, get the good seat in the house, or get the good special meal.
I don't blame you. And then when you walk in, you're like, oh, well, Kevin sent me to test it out first. Then, you know, we'll see what happens. So
there you go.
Kevin, let's talk about your Sixers last night. I can't say that I'm completely shocked, because I thought Miami both games were anomalies, and that Philly's not going to shoot that many threes and hit that many threes, and Dwayne Wade isn't going to play like that in game two. So two games in, 1-1, how do you see it?
I think you nailed it on the head. I mean, I think both games have kind of been anomalies, each team not really showing up as themselves. And I think that we're still – I don't think particular game was, you know, really a fun watch. I thought there was a lot of whistles last night that were – pretty frustrating, and then I don't think we got Miami's best in game one. So I think there's still a lot ahead for this series, and I think hopefully we'll get some better games moving forward.
Now, Kevin, out of these two anomalies, which one do you think is more likely to happen a second time?
I don't think that the Sixers blow the Heat out again this series. I think the second game two, I think, is more likely to happen. I mean, the Heat's defense was suffocating, and, you know, they're a real well-coached team. So I think that's something that's more likely to happen again. But I think both teams kind of have figured out each other's strengths and weaknesses to a degree. So I think that we'll see, you know, more competition. But I definitely think the Heat could replicate that defense. They were just suffocating on the Sixers, and I think that's, you know, a strategy we'll see a lot moving forward from the Heat.
Thursday night, game three. In the Heat House here in Miami, series tied 1-1. Joel Embiid, not mincing any words, went to his Instagram and said, effing tired of being babied. Mistake? Message? Are we going to see him on Thursday night on the court playing?
I think we'll see him. I think, honestly, if the Sixers had lost game one, I think maybe he would have even played game two. I think we're getting a lot of precaution from the Sixers medical staff. But, you know, I think he's definitely trying to send a message that, you know, he's tired of being kept out when he feels like he can play. He's a competitor, and, you know, to watch his team lose such a meaningful game while he sits there and he feels like, you know, the shots aren't falling, you can get it to me and I'll go score the basketball. I think, you know, it's just frustrating for him to sit there and watch his team lose. So I think, you know, they'll bring him back game three, I would think, and I think we'll see a really motivated Embiid, and hopefully he can help break down that Miami defense in game three.
It's so funny how the era of social media, because before, you know, all of this, a player would talk to the coach or a player would go to the press. Now a player just posts something on their Instagram. Brett Brown, the coach of the Sixers, said the right things. Hey, he loves the passion. Are the Sixers happy about this? Or because, I mean, you do love the passion, but maybe not the way it was expressed.
Yeah, I mean, I got to imagine that he had a nice talking to. You can't have that. It's not a good look for the team. It's not a good look for the coaching staff or the front office. So I would think, you know, they probably told him, you know, we got the best interest for you in our head. So, you know, just scale it back a little bit. I got to imagine that they weren't too happy with him doing that. But, you know, like you said, it's a passionate response. Hopefully, you know, he can mature a little bit and not go about it that way in the future because, like I said, just not a good look for the team at all.
Now, Kevin, last night watching the game, it just looked like the Heat started getting more physical and more pressuring, and it seemed like the 76ers at the beginning, it totally threw them out of their game. Do you think that's something that they can get in the head of the 76er players? Because you had Redick, when he was coming off screens, he was getting hit, and you saw 76er players running into each other. Do you think that's something that the Heat can keep for the remainder of this series?
Absolutely. I mean, it's going to take a lot of energy out of them, but in the playoffs, you get, you know, a little bit extra rest between games. But like you said, it definitely got in the Sixers' head. I mean, Dario Saric talked about it after the game. You know, they couldn't even get around their own screens that they were setting for each other because every Miami Heat defender was just fighting over every screen denying any passes. And it definitely ruffled some feathers on the Sixers. You know, they had a lot of really open shots in game one. There wasn't people within 5 feet of them at some points of that second half. So I think, you know, the Sixers came into the game feeling themselves a little bit. And, you know, they got hit in the mouth right away, and they weren't ready for it. So it's something the Sixers should prepare for more. I would expect them to, but it definitely got them off their game. And I think it was a great strategy by the Heat. You know, Coach Spoelstra really knows what he's doing down there. And I think we'll see, you know, the first game, there's a lot of offense. I think we're going to see a lot more of what we saw in game two from the Heat. And hopefully the Sixers can step up that defense. And this might turn into a series that swings on team defense.
Talking to Kevin Love, he's the managing editor of Liberty Ballers. That's the SB Nation 76ers blog. You can follow Kevin on Twitter at Kevin F. Love. I guess my question is, all right, so now it's best of five, and three of the next four possibly could be played in Miami. How would the Sixers, what do they need to do? What's the adjustment, and how much is the coaching? Because I really think they say experience doesn't matter in when it comes to the playoffs. I couldn't disagree more. But I think coaching matters. And you've got Spoelstra, who looks like he's 23 years old, with two championship rings as a head coach, another as an assistant, against a guy, Brent Brown, who's done a great job, but really thrust in this position for the first time as a playoff coach, and now facing a little bit of adversity.
Yeah, I mean, I think in game one, we saw him make a really good adjustment at halftime. The Heat were beating the Sixers. They were up 4 in the first half, and the Sixers and the Heat were playing at an astronomical pace of 110. And, you know, we saw in the second half the Sixers really slowed their game down, which wasn't something I expected at all. This team, you know, they've been one of the top five teams in pace all season. So, you know, I think I've seen Brett Brown already make a really good adjustment in game one at halftime. You know, he got his team to slow it down, let the game come to them. Like you talked about, you know, there's not a lot of playoff experience on this team. So, you know, he calmed his team down at halftime and they started to play their game. But, you know, game two, we didn't really see as many adjustments. And Spoelstra, on the other hand, he made a huge adjustment, at least defensively. So, you know, some of that experience definitely came through for Spoelstra. We'll see, you know, game to game, Spoelstra seemed to have the edge on adjustments. But within the game in game one, Brett Brown had the edge. But we're seeing definitely a lot of this experience come up for the Heat. I mean, with Dwayne Wade turning back the clock to 2007, 2008. So it's definitely something to keep an eye on. I mean, the inexperience for the Sixers was evident last night. We saw tons of turnovers. And like I said, we didn't really see many in-game adjustments. So I think, you know, it's, like I said, something to definitely keep an eye on. Spoelstra has his, you know, his hand in things down there, and I would like to see Brett be able to come back, you know, figure out exactly how they were being defended, catch all that physical stuff, and try to figure some things out, get Embiid involved, and, you know, we'll see game three.
Now, Kevin, with Embiid coming back in, if he comes back in, doesn't that play a little bit into the hand of the Heat with the way the defense wants to go, especially when you looked at way game one kind of went away with them kicking it out and wide open three-pointers with Embiid in there? That kind of plays in the Heat's hand, does it not?
Yeah, in a way it does. I mean, we've seen times this season where Embiid, you know, he'll get double-teamed and he doesn't make the proper kick-out pass. So Embiid's going to have to be able to take those double-teams and find the open man. So it'll really come down to, you know, the Heat are going to stay physical. They saw a lot of success with it. And I think, you know, like you said, with working Embiid in, there's going to be some hiccups there. So Embiid really, I think, needs to be able to pass out of the double team effectively, or else things are going to go really good for the Heat. Embiid also has a lot of turnover, so if they get physical with them, you know, we could see a lot more of that. The one thing I would say is that Embiid is very, very good at drawing fouls. He does that kind of James Harden swing through move. So that's one thing the Heat really has to watch out for, and I'm sure Spoelstra's on top of that. I mean, Embiid's been doing it all season. So I really think it could go either way, and a lot's going to depend on how the refs, you know, call the game. If they're like they were last night, a lot of physicality was going on, and, you know, there was a lot of calls, but there was also a lot of missed fouls, or maybe not even missed fouls, but, you know, they were really letting the guys be touchy. So, like I said, you know, a lot's going to depend on how it's called when Embiid's in there. But I expect a lot of double teams, and I expect him to be physical with them. He's been out for a while, and, you know, his presence alone should help the team in many ways, but there might be some hiccups that could go the Heat's way as well.
I love it. I said it all along. I thought this would be the most fascinating series in the first round, and so far it's living up to that. That's Kevin Love, managing editor of Liberty Ballers, the Sixers SB Nation blog. Thanks for hanging out with us. Brought to you by the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. When we come back, Shohei Ohtani. The Angels want you to be quiet when he hits. We'll explain.